This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
It's my privilege to introduce our commencement speaker this morning. Often in times like this, we have guests that it's, to be honest, it's the first time I've ever met them, and I try to introduce them with enthusiasm and great sincerity. But this morning is different. I've known Dr. Andre Rogers over two decades, almost a quarter of a century. He was a student here at CIU. Upon graduation, he went to Dallas Seminary, received his master's degree. Then he came back and began serving as a professor here at CIU and began and completed his doctorate in ministry degree in pastoral leadership. He's been serving here since 1999 as a professor, and currently he's a professor of church ministry in our seminary and school of ministry. He serves as a consultant on church planting for the Southern Baptist Convention. He's a church planting strategist. He also serves the PCA, the Presbyterian Church in America, in their global church advancement. He's very well respected, very proud of him. He's a dear friend. We have been accountability partners in terms of scripture memory, and not just scripture memory, but meditation on what we're memorizing. So often it was easy just to memorize something and really not try to get it from here to here. We've ministered a lot together. I count him as a dear friend. His daughters call me Uncle Bill. I'm very proud of that. Although our friendship has not been without stress, I was serving on his dissertation committee. And this morning I told him, I tweaked your bio just a little bit. And he didn't hesitate a moment. He said, "That's not the first thing you've ever tweaked of mine." I love this man. I'm not the only one who loves him. The students dedicated the yearbook to him this past year. So would you welcome with me someone we dearly love around here, Dr. Andre Rogers.
My friend Bill Jones. Father, use our time together this morning to speak to our hearts. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. I'd just like to tell you all congratulations on a day such as today. I graduated from Columbia International University for the first time in 1995, December. But back in those days, we didn't have December graduation. So I had to wait till 1996, May. So you're privileged today to be here to celebrate such a long, enduring journey. And praise God for your accomplishment. Paul tells us this: "I urge you, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." My brothers and sisters, today, in light of God's great salvation, he strongly urges us with tenderness to present our body, our minds, and our wills to God. You know, when you come down to a day such as graduation, you're at the end of your journey, end of your road, and you're praising God for everything you have sacrificed up to this point to make it here for a day like this day. Here is Paul telling you, don't let your degree be the only thing you present to God. Present you to God now. And not just today, but for the rest of your life, present yourself to God. Daily, if you would, present yourself to God as a living sacrifice. Here in our text today, first of all, he asks us to present our body to God. Brothers and sisters, I believe in light of God's mercies. And if you've read Romans, you realize between Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 11, that's all he's been talking about, is the mercies of God. He talks about us when we were sinners. He talks about the great salvation that he provided through justification and sanctification, ultimately glorification. He talks about sanctification between chapter 5 and chapter 8. He talked about this whole idea of sovereignty. And now as we get to chapter 12, he raises this idea of service. We now know how we should think, how we should believe. Now, how should we act? How should we behave in light of everything that we've talked about up to this point? So in light of God's mercy, present your body to God. In Hebrew thought, the body represented the whole, the entire person. He's urging the Roman citizens, the believers that are in Rome, to function as living sacrifices. To present, to stand before another in order to serve him. Who are we serving? We're serving God. We're serving Christ. We're serving the Holy Spirit. And this is not just a one-time dedication, but it's an ongoing dedication that leads us to completeness and comprehensiveness and places oneself at God's disposal. So for the rest of your life, Lord, I present myself to you. It's so easy to overemphasize the degree that we think certain doors should just open because we graduated now. But it's not your degree that gets you in the doors. It's a life that's dedicated to God, that says, God, take my life and use it however you choose. You know, in Romans chapter 6, verse 12 and 13, gives us the first occasion this idea of this presentation comes about. It says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in its lusts, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Give God your body. Serve him consistently. Serve him with everything you have to the day you die. In the Old Testament, we have a picture of this, and that Abraham was asked by God to offer his son, Isaac, in Genesis 22. And of course, you remember the story as they ascended to the mountain. Notice that we have wood, we have an altar, but we don't have a sacrifice. And Isaac allowed his father to bound him in order to present him as a sacrifice. And God, as Abraham raised the knife above his son, said, wait, I see your faithfulness. Look in the bush, Jehovah Jireh, God has provided. And he didn't have to sacrifice his son. But in the New Testament picture, God marched his son up Golgotha's hill. He placed him on a cross. He allowed those who would take his life to place him on the cross. But they didn't take his life. He offered it up as a living sacrifice. And I love the words on the cross. He said, it is finished. The finished work of the cross. You have what in Abraham and Isaac, this trust that we should have for God. But God provides, Jehovah Jireh, he provided. But God gladly gave his son for our salvation, for our completeness, for our wholeness, So in light of the mercies of God, how much more should we give to him? Not just part of my life. Not just a Sunday morning devotion of my life. Not just a Wednesday night when we're having a prayer meeting kind of devotion. But it's the kind of life that on a daily basis, Lord, I give my life to you in light of your great mercies. In light of what you've done for me, I present my body as a living sacrifice. You know, on that sacrificial seat, they would offer animals from time to time. And the priest would hold the sacrifice in place. You know, he's asking us to allow his spirit to hold us in place and to allow us to be bound and to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. The text tells us here, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. This whole idea of this spiritual light, we get our English word rational from, maybe even the word logic. So it's logical that you would give yourselves to God in light of his great mercies that he's shown to us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for the nights these students have had to burn the midnight oil. Thank you for the early mornings that we've gotten up and we've studied for tests, crammed for tests. Thank you for the papers that we had to write. And when professors write more on our papers. I don't know why I wanted to look at the president right then. Then we're written on our own papers. But Lord, you have been good to us. And in light of your mercies that you've shown us, in light of enabling us to make it to this point, I gladly give my body back to you. I gladly give myself wholly to you. You know, as you give your bodies to God, there are those over the years in our great tradition here at Columbia International University, their service to God has led them to literal death. And I believe with somewhat gladness in light of God's mercy. And if God calls you to an assignment that will one day lead you to death, do it standing and praising God. Because to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. For how long? Forever and forever and forever. Excuse me, I'm gonna say amen for myself right there. Not only should we present we should take care of our bodies, present them to God, but I think there's another idea in this text that not only should we present our body, but I think we should also present our minds to God. You all look so intelligent sitting in front of me today. Y'all look so smart. To be honest with you, some of you look tired. Amen. Some of you look like you're just glad it's over. But you're smart. You're theologians. Some of you studied leadership and teacher training, psychology. Some of you just smart. Not all of you, but some of you are just smart. Some of you graduate like I did. Just thank you, Lord, I made it to the end. But here's what this text, I think, is saying. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The world is guilty of trying to conform us, trying to mold us, trying to tell us what we should think. And if they can control our thinking, it won't be long before they control our body. If they can mold us, we may say we're Christian with our lips, but if they mold us to the world, it won't be long before we'll just look like the world. One of my good friends on the podium here with me, Reverend Andre T. Melvin, would say it this way. You can't catch fish and swim with them too. You're mine. Just because we're graduating today doesn't mean there's a finished work when it comes to our mind. We need to keep on renewing our minds. How do we do that? I think this text is telling us to stay dedicated to God. That renewal comes to saturating our lives with His word and prayer and that dedication. I think daily wouldn't be too often to continuously dedicate ourselves to the Lord, to get our minds right. You know, I had one of my church members to come tell me the other day they have a difficult job. They work in the ER as a nurse. And she told me, she said, in order to go to my job, I have to get my mind right. I have to listen to some praise music first and read some scripture to get my mind right in order to work in the ER. I stopped myself for a moment. I must work in the ER too, because I have to get my mind right to do what I need to do as well. Here's my challenge to us. Here's what 1 John, I think chapter 2, verse 15 says, stop loving the world. Don't let the world have its influence take root in your life. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. You know, I was so fascinated. My parents used to leave us home. We were kids. They would go to work. And my brother and I would, we would try to fix lunch and dinner for ourselves. And of course, they left instructions, but we sometimes do our own thing. One of the things I loved to fix was Jell-O. And we'd empty it out the ice cubes and fill the ice containers with Jell-O. And we'd put it in the freezer and freeze it. And it'd stay up there 2 or 3 hours. Be frozen, and it would conform itself to whatever the ice cube container looked like. And we just thought that was fascinating. One day, we had an idea that we wouldn't put it in a container. We would just pour it in the... Y'all are not following this illustration like I need y'all to. Let me tell you, it made a mess all in the freezer. So much so, we couldn't get it all cleaned up before my parents got home. And he said, what did you do? And I said, well, we're used to making Jell-O in the ice cube container, but we decided not to conform it to the ice cube container this time. We decided to see what it would do if we just poured it right on the shelf in the freezer. I know this is going to be a bad word, and forgive me for using this word. I thought we were going to get a spanking. Some of y'all know that it's time out. If you didn't figure out what I just said, ask your neighbor on the way out the door this morning. And my father did something that blessed us that day. He said, did you get the answers you were looking for? And I said, I think we did. And he said, what was that? I said, if you don't pour it into anything, it could go anywhere it decides to go. And he said, you're exactly right. And instead of putting us in time out or spanking us, he decided to help us clean it up. And he told my brother and I, don't be conformed to this world, but be loose enough, be willing enough to go wherever God will take you, even if it's all over this refrigerator. Some of you have made plans. Yes, you have. I can tell it. You got a job starting Monday. You're ready to get there. Some of you have a job starting in January. Some of you wish you had a job. I just wish I had a job to go to. But listen, be loose enough to let the Lord take you wherever He will take you. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to one thing. Be willing to let the Lord take you wherever He will take you. He says this earlier in Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and 6. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I don't know about you. I don't like that death thing. But that life and peace seems awfully attractive. Sometimes God will put us in a situation where there's chaos all around us, but we can still have the peace of God that passes all understanding inside of us. We can be in situations where it feels like there's no hope, but thank you that the hope that we have lives on the inside of us. Amen, Rogers. Yes, it lives on the inside of us. So set your mind on things above, not on things of this world. You know, as you sit there this morning, your degree is almost in your hand. But where is your mind? Maybe you should use this moment to say, Lord, I rededicate myself to you. That, Lord, I want you to use my mind for the rest of my life. Some of you in undergrad can come and get another degree if you need to renew your mind some more. Wherever God takes you, renew your mind. Lord, refresh my mind. Sometimes we can hang around stuff so long. In my church, we'd call it trash so long until we don't realize that the trash can get in us if we're not renewing our minds. So Lord, help me to renew my mind. So give your body to God. Give your mind to God. And I want to go sit down now. But the last part of this text is still calling my name. Give your will to God. He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There'll be a lot of things when you leave CIU that will offer compromises in your life. Sometimes for security, it's very tempting to compromise. Sometimes for comfort, it's real easy to be tempted to compromise. I know no one at Columbia International University's graduation in 2014 would ever come up with this one. Sometimes we're compromised because we feel entitled. Oh my. But you know what? That's why I think the verse helps us with this idea of how do we continue to give our body to God? By giving our wills to God. By giving our minds to God. He reminds us here that when it comes to our volition, when it comes to our will, to continuously give it to God so we may prove that good and acceptable and the best will of God for our lives. That good and acceptable and perfect will of God. My brothers and sisters, I pray that you never compromise. I pray that you don't compromise your faith, your family, the foundation of truths that you have in your life. I pray that you will never, ever compromise it. I pray that you hold to God's unchanging hand. You know, some people would ask, what is the will of God? What is the will of God? Some would even say, I would do it if I knew the will of God. Yeah, what is the will of God? My grandfather, who had a sixth grade education, who's gone on to be with Jesus, now has an answer for us. He said, Andre, God can't move a parked car. And I said, what does that mean? And I had graduated from CIU the second time before I finally figured out what it meant. I think I was a dummy. But you have to put your life in gear, moving toward the things of God to understand the will of God. When I was in the kindergarten, I used to love kindergarten. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. My kindergarten teacher, I hope she's not here today. Her name was Miss Stevens. And what I liked about her so much, she used to wear red lipstick every day. I was infatuated by that red lipstick that she would wear every day. Y'all pray for me later. But anyway, I just love to see Miss Stevens with her red lipstick. And she would give us crayons to color with. And you all could probably never guess what color crayon that I want to work with. Red. I'd color everything that she gave us red. Red. And you know what? Miss Stevens never criticized me. I told her one day I wanted to marry her, and she was so flattered. She said, Andre, I'm going to probably be married by the time you're eligible. I said, please wait on me, Miss Stevens. Wait on me, Miss Stevens. But you know what? Miss Stevens never gave me the kind of work that I had to do here at CIU. I had to write 10-page papers, 20-page papers. One time I wrote a 200-page paper. They got a lot of criticism. I enjoyed kindergarten because it was all about red, all about my crayon, and it was all about looking at Miss Stevens' lipstick. And no, Miss Stevens didn't wait on me. She married somebody else. Darn. But I'm glad she allowed me to enjoy red. That red crayon all year. Because even after I got over her red lipstick, I've been trying to paint the world red ever since then. But it has nothing to do with the crayon now. Has something to do with the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And you know, if Miss Stevens would have given me a 20-page paper in kindergarten, I would have lost my joy for kindergarten. If she would have given me a 200-page paper and marked it up like he marked it up, it would have taken my joy. But thank you that over the years that he showed me his will slowly but surely. And now standing here today, having sat where you sat today or where you're sitting today, I can enjoy the will of God right where I am. You know, the Lord has cracked the door open to show you different aspects of his will, but keep moving. And God will keep showing you new horizons when it comes to his will. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I was driving here this morning, coming to commencement exercises at CIU. And I saw a bumper sticker that I've seen many times before. It kind of tripped me out when I saw this bumper sticker. It said, God is my co-pilot. And I said, oh my. And I looked over in my other seat. And I couldn't imagine Jesus sitting in my other seat. Because if he was sitting in the other seat, that means I'm still driving. Right. I'm still directing my life. So today I'm going to give him my body, my mind, and my will. So he won't be my co-pilot. He'll be my pilot for the rest of my life.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.